From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Scott Balsay is a guitarist from Pocatello, Idaho. His latest album is a collection of instrumental pieces that span more than 35 years. Scott spent 30 years teaching English in the Pocatello public school system, where in the mid-1990s he began playing his latest compositions for his students.
The newer stuff, I started composing like in 96, 98 and stuff. Probably most of the people who heard me play there were my students. I come and they'd have a day where they had a read, or they were working on a question sheet on a novel I was giving them 30 or 40 minutes to do. And I remember what happened was it was quiet in the room. The kids were working, and I had a student raise his hand, and I looked up and he said, "Mr. Balsay, why don't you play your guitar while we do this?" And I said, "No vocals." He said, "No, just do that." Because I said, "If I do vocals, you're not going to think about anything." You know, "No, just play it, you know?" And that's when I started doing it.
Coming up, Scott Balsay tells the story of his musical journey from Kutztown State College to the Appalachian Trail to his cross-country move to Pocatello. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. Our friends at Creative Works of Lancaster will be returning to Musser Park for their Works in the Park free outdoor summer play. This year they will be producing Room Service on August 9th, 10th, and 11th. To help raise funds to keep these summer shows free and open to the public, Creative Works has launched a Kickstarter campaign. To learn how you can make this project a reality, link up from the show post or search Room Service at Kickstarter.com. And don't forget about the great summer concerts coming up in July. We're proud to be partnering with the Hans Herr House to bring you two more shows in the Music in the Orchard concert series. On July 14th, we welcome folk rockers Indian Summer Jars and the Celtic trio Fire in the Glen. On July 28th, it's country songwriter Dave LeFevre and Bluegrassers Waiting on a Train. The concerts start at 6 p.m. on the Hans Herr House grounds in Willow Street, Pennsylvania. Admission is $5 for adults. Kids under 12 are free. And on Friday, July 20th, we welcome Jordan Rass to the Woodstove House stage at Lemon Street Market for Lancaster's Music Friday. The concert is free and open to the public and starts at 6 p.m. Here's Fractured Love by Jordan Rast on Around the Woodstove.
So it's you and your dreams, and my heart caught in between, and I'm chasing this love when it's so hard to believe, and she's standing there when I meet her in the night, so absent and unaware. She is holding me closer, showing me the reasons for her love and for her care. But you won't let me hold your fire, reasons for the things I do, melodies I keep on writing, everything for you. Baby, I'm down when you come around. Baby, it's 1, 2, what can I do? 3, 4, never been so sure. I'm thinking of my fractured love, so you kiss me and I hold.
That's Fractured Love, the title track from Jordan Rast's latest album, here on Around the Wood Stove. Around the Wood Stove is brought to you in part by Lemon Street Market at 241 West Lemon Street in Lancaster. For convenient access to locally produced, fresh and healthy groceries and environmentally sustainable products, visit Lemon Street Market today. If you're in a rush, no problem. Lemon Street Market has on-site parking and a variety of locally sourced and prepared ready-to-eat meals. If you'd rather take your time and relax, the market has indoor and outdoor seating and features the new Herd of Turtles Cafe that offers coffees, teas, and other drinks along with assorted items for breakfast. Lemon Street Market is Lancaster's healthy grocer, fresh, local, and friendly. Featuring regional and world-sourced foods for your complete shopping experience, visit Lemon Street Market today at 241 West Lemon Street in Lancaster or online at lemonstreetmarket.com. Scott Balsay is a fingerstyle acoustic guitarist from Pocatello, Idaho. He spent his first 27 years in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania before thru-hiking the AT and then heading west. A guitarist his whole life, Scott didn't begin recording his music until the late 1990s. His third and latest album, Reflections of Maple and Mahogany, a Musical Diary, includes original compositions that span the last 35 years. Scott was visiting Pennsylvania this summer and stopped by Lancaster for a chat about his latest album and his musical journey. Joining me at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Scott Balsay from Idaho, all the way from
Pocatello.
From Pocatello. Is it Pocatello?
Pocatello.
All right. Yeah.
Named after an Indian chief.
Traveling back with some fantastic guitar and some recordings we're going to get into in a minute, but traveling back to Pennsylvania this summer of 2012, back home.
Right, originally my home. Yeah,
yeah. Let's go all the way back to the beginning of this this really cool story you have about how you made it out to Idaho.
I had graduated from college, Kutztown State College, in 1978. Got a job working at Wilderness Travel, Nestor's Sporting Goods in Whitehall, Pennsylvania, Allentown. Uh-huh. Was there for about 2 years, and I told Jim Laros, who was the manager at the time, that I wanted to hike the Appalachian Trail. And that was kind of the beginning of it, and you'll see what I mean in a minute. He gave me the following year as a leave of absence. I needed about 6 months to do that, so he gave me a six-month leave of absence there. Right before I left to hike the Appalachian Trail, another good friend of mine, Bill McGinley, had gotten a job out in Pocatello because his wife was accepted in the Idaho State University art program for a master's degree. So he and Bill McGinley and Connie McGinley moved out to Pocatello the year I was hiking the AT. Okay, and I knew where they had gone. I helped them pack their van.
Okay.
Okay. Well, when I helped them pack their van, he mentioned the possibility that they were going to come back the following summer, which would have been the summer after I did the AT, 81, and that perhaps I could follow them out and see what Pocatello was all about. So that was the impetus for that. So as I was hiking the AT, particularly the second half of it, because I took a break right in the summer, middle of the summer there, to help Bill and Connie pack the U-Haul.
Right.
It was like in July, August. And so that was when I was really aware that I might be going out there in 81. So I hiked the entire AT except for 100 miles in PA. I purposely left that 100 miles in PA for the following summer, 81, as an ado. And it was from Port Clinton to Caledonia State Park.
That's interesting.
So in Harper's Ferry, they actually had me down in 81. But I hiked the 2,000 miles in 80. But my certificate actually says 81. And that's because I didn't apply for that certificate until I had done
until you finished
that 100 miles. Yeah. And when I finished in Caledonia, I just said, okay, that's it. And about 2 weeks later, I followed Bill and Connie McGinley from Bethlehem all the way out to Pocatello. I think we did it in 4 days.
What was it like on the trail? And how did that affect or influence the music?
Well, I actually hiked the trail. One of the reasons I did it was to try to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. I had a degree in English, a secondary ed certificate to teach high school, and I had my music. And I couldn't decide whether I wanted to follow music seriously and really commit myself to it or become a teacher and perhaps surround myself in quality outdoor recreation. Okay, and I thought, well, if I hike the Appalachian Trail, maybe that'll help me decide. And it pretty much did, and it came heavily down on the side of following a regular career, particularly one like teaching that afforded me 2 or 3 months off to follow, to go backpacking for a month or two in the summertime, which I did do a number of occasions after school, out in the Sawtooths. And that's what did it. But I never stopped playing. I played all year long. I would play my guitars, both electric and acoustic, in my classes periodically. I've jammed with bands in the area, got into a jazz, blues, rock, country kind of fusion trio in the mid-90s. Continued a bit to do the acoustic fingerstyle stuff. I mean, I was picking Doc Watson stuff before I left Pennsylvania back in 1978, 79. And I can play and sing a number of his arrangements for famous folk songs, Deep River Blues, etc.
Was there a difference in your music or just your creative life before and after the trail?
On the Appalachian Trail, I didn't carry a guitar at all. I wanted to release myself of any creative. I was even approached to write. My major was in English and journalism, so I was even approached to write a series of articles for the Morning Call Chronicle out of Allentown while I was on the AT. And I thought about that, and I was really tempted, but I turned that opportunity down because I just wanted the AT to be mine, kind of, you know. And
No agenda.
No music, you know. I left the picks at home. I didn't take a mini guitar or anything. Martin had a little Packer guitar at the time. I didn't buy one of those. I just said, I'm going to hike this trail and just think about, I was 26, what I want to do with the rest of it, my life, you know. And so when I was done, I came down. I said, I'm going to check out this Pocatello place. And I followed Bill and Connie. I had a Chevy Vega with a U-Haul rooftop carrier. I packed a Chevy Vega hatchback with a rooftop carrier, and that was all I had. Three guitars, an electric and two acoustics, a stereo, my backpacking gear, which included a bedroll.
What else do you need?
And records. Yeah, and that was it. And a little bit of clothes, you know. And that was about it. Yeah, I played consistently off and on throughout the whole period, but it was probably in 1995 I went to Logan, Utah, to work on a PhD in secondary ed, cognition. And I only stayed in the program for a year because I ended up not agreeing with some of the philosophy of the program. But that year that I was in it was extremely mentally stimulating. And definitely was not a mistake to go down there. Just maybe the program wasn't quite right. But the actual intellectual stimulation was what I needed. So when I came back, got my job back in the Pocatello School District, I had that intellectual output that I had been putting out at Logan had to go somewhere.
Yeah,
I had the same assignment that I had at the junior high school when I left, so that was pretty well solidified. I didn't have to spend a lot of time on that. And I had this intellectual, like a balloon ready to bust, you know, and it had to go somewhere. And it just naturally went into those six strings.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. My guest today is guitarist Scott Balsay from Pocatello, Idaho. In the mid-1990s, Scott began developing his current fingerstyle, influenced by Will Ackerman and the abundance of instrumental guitar-based albums that Windham Hill Records released in the 1980s and early 1990s.
But it was probably Will Ackerman and those group of players in the 80s, Alex DeGrassi, people like that, even Bill Mize, although at the time I didn't recognize who he was. He has become a really good friend of mine. But he was recorded on Windham Hill and Narada Records. And I was listening to all those guys through the 80s and into the early 90s. And then it was at Logan that Bill Mize came to perform at Utah State University. And Dr. Strong, who was the chairman of the department I was a graduate student in, told me he was coming that weekend and asked if I'd stay down and see him. And I missed my wife up in Pocatello. I said, no, get a CD and I'll buy it off you or something, but I'm going up to see my wife. And I missed seeing Bill Mize live there, but when I got back the next week, Dr. Strong gave me one of the CDs. I recorded it on a tape so I could give the CD back to him. And I listened to that tape traveling from Pocatello to Logan back and forth for the rest of the year. And Bill Mize basically brought me to tears. And so that was a big a big impetus to get back into fingerstyle.
Right. So you start composing these pieces, right? But yep. I'm assuming you're doing it at your house. You're just for yourself.
Yeah. And some of these on Reflections of Maple Mahogany were composed even before I left Bethlehem. Move in, back into 44 Greenwich Street, yeah.
At what point were you sharing what you're doing with the public?
The newer stuff, I started composing like in 96, 98 and stuff. Probably most of the people who heard me play there were my students.
I'd come
and they'd have a day where they had a read, or they were working on a question sheet on a novel I was giving them 30 or 40 minutes to do. And I remember what happened was it was quiet in the room. The kids were working, and I had a student raise his hand, and I looked up, and he said, "Mr. Balsay, why don't you play your guitar while we do this?" And I said, "No vocals." He said, "No, just do that." Because I said, "If I do vocals, you're not going to think about anything." You know, "No, just play it, you know." And that's when I started doing it. So I would pull my guitar out, and I said, "Now, if anybody's a problem with this, just let me know. You can let me know privately later on. Just let me know. But I'll try and see what happens." And so I just sat up there acoustically in the front of the room, and the kids were working, and I play these pieces. And
you play such great music to like be the backdrop for a session of studying.
I've had a number of people. I've had doctors tell me that. Ex-students of mine who I played for their wedding at the Targhee National Park. They got married, which is on the foothill of Grand Teton. You know, there's a ski area there. And the woman was a girl I had in my class, and she's a pediatrician. And she was getting married to a surgeon, and they wanted me to do her wedding. And said, "You don't know how much we listened to your music while we were studying for our exams and stuff." I said, "Well, that's cool. I'm glad you told me that."
For a teacher, that's
I said, "That's the ultimate compliment." Yeah.
You could be, that's perfect. I don't know. I mean, what if you were playing metal?
I didn't do metal, but we had one of the units I had was a blues unit that I taught the kids. It was contiguous with a Civil War unit. It was in a developmental reading class where I was supposed to be teaching curriculum and how to help students like read a textbook. And so I was doing this history unit using the textbook on the Civil War. And so then I followed that unit up with a unit I put together totally with external sources, because we didn't have a textbook for this, on the history of blues music and its influence on American pop music in the United States, and starting with the slave experience of the blacks, you know, after the Civil War, and how that evolved into this music called blues. And that was fun. And I'd bring my electric guitar in and jam with some of these records that I'd put on, you know, and kids were going wild with that one too, you know.
So you have several records, CDs that you've released over the years. The most recent is called Reflections of Maple and Mahogany, which I'd like to talk about. It's a fantastic record, but it's interesting that on the cover, the front cover, it's called A Musical Diary. Tell me about that.
Well, right off, the leaf that you see there, that was taken on the Appalachian Trail.
Okay.
A Kodachrome 64 slide. And I had that converted into a computer image via Brent Lohman, my computer consultant for this. So that right away. I mean, it's just starting with the graphics, let alone the music. Okay. The Mahogany is the back of my 512, which Nadine bought me, which initiated pretty much my starting to record original music.
Okay.
When I got that first Taylor 512, and that's the back of it. All right. And the maple leaf represents another Taylor guitar that she bought me, which is maple. And that's what the disc is. If you look at the disc, that's the back of that guitar. And that's why I put the maple leaf on it to bring that home, maple and mahogany.
You're right.
And those pieces were inspired by the sound of those guitars. I can't say that I had something in my head and I sat down and figured it out. I was playing and it came out of me at that moment as I was playing those guitars. And that's why I decided to kind of tribute that CD to those guitars. Thank you.
That's Summer's Peace by Scott Balsay on Around the Wood Stove. So this is a collection of 15 tracks.
Yes, probably spanning as much as 35 years or more. Yeah, maybe 40 years.
What's the oldest piece?
The oldest one, I think, is Movin'.
Okay.
I put that one together. Kutztown State, it was Kutztown State College at the time. Now I understand it's Kutztown University.
Right.
But I put that together my senior year. I was no longer in the dorms, and I was frantically trying to find a place to stay in the fall semester. I ended up in this one room with a couple friends of mine, but it had no windows in it. It was like a cave, and I didn't think I was going to last very long in it. And another friend of mine said, well, we got a room upstairs with a window. Maybe you can come in and live with us. And I said, that might be better, you know. So I told my friend Tom Zucco, I said, Tom, I'm going to have to go in this other place. Oh, I completely understand, he said, you know. So I moved over to 44 Greenwich Street and composed Movin'. And it came to represent that frenetic feeling of what it's like in the first week of fall semester trying to find a place to stay.
Yeah.
And it stayed with me. I mean, it became a poignant piece for me as well when I started moving from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, my hometown, after I graduated from Kutztown, to Pocatello, Idaho. That piece started to mean even more to me then.
Yeah. That's a track called Moving by Scott Balsay. Scott has lived in Pocatello, Idaho for over 3 decades, but recently visited his hometown of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I was lucky enough to meet up with Scott during a short trip to Lancaster to chat about songs from his latest album, Reflections of Maple and Mahogany, A Musical Diary. There's an interesting story behind the song Sunday Visitors that has to do with another song that's on this record called Visiting.
Yes. Yes, that you touched on a little bit earlier with the Windham Hill people. Will Ackerman was, one of the, if not the founder, of the Windham Hill Record Company in California. He also played guitar, and he introduced a lot of great musicians to the world, George Winston, Alex DeGrassi, among others. And I was listening to Will Ackerman in the 80s. I can't remember where I got the first record. I can't remember how I got into that, but I was listening to them. And I would put his tape, copy them on a cassette tape, stick it in my truck, and go fishing, fly fishing up in the Henry's Fork, drive 2 hours listening to Windham Hill. And a lot of it was Will Ackerman. And Visiting was one of the pieces I kept doing over and over again. Mm-hmm. I just liked it. And on his recording, at least one of his recordings, he has an accompanist, I think a flutist of some sort, if I remember correctly. I haven't listened to that version for years, but that was the one I was listening to in the 80s. And it just seemed to fit the mood of traveling to the Henry's Fork in the fall or in the spring, and I listened to it over and over again. Well, in 1996, when Jeanine bought me my first Taylor, it seemed to have that sound, that Will Ackerman sound, that my Martin didn't quite have. And I decided I was going to go up and learn Visiting, so I put the record on, and which is the way I always figured out pieces. Put the record on. I didn't do it with CDs. I did it with records. Picking the needle up, putting it down, picking it up, putting it down, picking it up, putting it down, till you ruin the record. But in the process, hopefully, by the time you've ruined the record, you've got the piece.
Okay? Right.
Well, this song was stubborn because, and I knew it was going to be, because I knew it wasn't standard tuning. And in the past, when I figured out pieces by people like Doc Watson or, more obscurely, John Martin of England, if they didn't give me a clue on the tuning, like a harmonic, it could take me three times as long to figure out the tuning than it actually would for the piece.
Right.
Getting the tuning was critical. Well, in 2002 or three, I got on Will Ackerman's site, and lo and behold, his website, here he has a page with all of his past recordings and their tunings.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I got to the, I never would have gotten this tuning without that. I got, went there, and he had a cape on the second fret too, which made it even more difficult. Yeah, which I wouldn't have probably figured that out. So I went there, got the tuning, and I think about an hour and a half later I had visiting. And I practiced it for about 2 weeks until I got proficient with it, you know, to where I thought, okay, I can kind of let this rest. And I said, like I had done once before with another piece I can talk about, one of my other CDs maybe, well, what can I, this is a new tuning for me, what can I do with this tuning? And I didn't know where to start with it. It was a brand new tuning other than visiting, so I thought, well, I'll start the same way that visiting did. So I hit the first four notes. And then I have this little thing in mind, of, you know, when all else fails, go up the scale or go down the scale. And so I just went down the scale with that, and a day later. And that one came quick. The Sunday Visitors came really quickly. Most of them come that quickly. That came within a day or two.
That was Sunday Visitors from my guest Scott Balsay on Around the Woodstove. At the Woodstove House, we'd love to hear from you. If you have any feedback about the show, please drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com. And now back to my conversation with guitarist Scott Balsay on Around the Woodstove.
There's a track called Prairie Braid that, yes, that really caught my attention when I was listening to
it. Yeah, that's another one. There's a little story about that, and I'm really glad you asked me about that because that involves my wife here. That was one of those that came kind of like Sunday Visitors pretty quickly. I wish they'd all come like that, but some of them don't. But that one came like 2 days. And I started, and if I had my guitar, I could play a little line of that. But it started with the main theme that's in that piece. I had that, and I kept playing it over and over again. And I was sitting on the floor in Janine's sewing room where she works on quilts. She's a fanatical quilter, and she's really good at it. As good at that as maybe I am at my guitar, maybe better. And I was working on this little ditty, trying to figure out where I could go with it. And to make a long story shorter, about 2 days later, I had the thing done. And we were driving into town to get some groceries. And I said to Janine, I said, you know, it's a great tune. I really like it. It's got a really strong melody and everything, but I just don't know what to call it. It's not talking to me. And so I suggested to her that I could call it While She Sews, punning on a piece that Billy McLaughlin has, another great player, a finger stylist, called While She Sleeps, kind of punning on his title for that piece. And I said, well, you know, that's the best thing I got. I'd rather not have to pun on a Billy McLaughlin title, but that's all I got. And she said, right out of the blue, she said, no, I have a title for you. She said, why don't you call that Prairie Braid? And I looked at her and I said, Prairie Braid? How did you come up with that? I mean, it had alliteration, internal rhyme. It was beautiful. I said, how did you come up with that? And then she said, well, that's the name of the pattern, the quilting pattern that I was working on when you were sitting in my room working on that piece. So that was the title. And since then, it's come to represent a braid And for me, has come to represent how two lives can braid together and influence each other. It was Janine that was the spark behind me starting to record. I never thought a lot of my stuff was really ever going to get recorded or even worth recording. And it was Janine that said, you need to record those for nobody else, if then for me. And that's what started it.
Scott, thank you so much for taking some time.
Thank you.
On your busy travel schedule here and visiting us in Lancaster. We really appreciate it. And thank you for sharing this music with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, by the way, despite the fact that I lived 27 of my years, my first years of my life in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, I didn't believe I've ever been in Lancaster until today.
Well, yes, welcome.
I tell my wife that. I said, I don't think I've ever been. Reading, yes, but I don't think I've ever been to Lancaster.
Well, we're glad you stopped
down. Yes, I am too.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
You can find Scott Balsay online at acousticreflections.net, where you can learn more about each of Scott's albums and find out where he's performing. You can also link up from our website, woodstovehouse.com. And while you're there, you can check out past episodes of the program, subscribe to the show, or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Find us online at woodstovehouse.com.